Well, it's good to be back with you today. Spend some time in God's Word in our midweek Bible study. We're in the book of Psalms 119, and if you want to find your Bible and join in, we're in Psalm 119, verse 145. Tremendous study through the book of Psalms if you've been with us in this study, and we continue to make these videos every week and pray that they're a blessing to you. And share them with your friends. Share them with those that you know might enjoy learning God's Word. Today I want to spend just a few minutes together with you and talk about the truth of God's Word. Truth. Truth is an interesting thing to talk about in today's society. As Christians, we think of truth in absolute terms, meaning truth for us, for Christians, for those who have their faith in God and in Jesus Christ and are saved. Truth is not a relative term. In other words, truth is not based on on my opinion or your opinion. It's not based on how I feel. Truth is not based on how society feels. Truth is not based on circumstances. Truth is not defined by situations. Truth is absolute. Truth is fixed. It's constant. Now, the reason truth is fixed, which David talks about here in this passage, is because truth is connected to God. God is the source of all truth. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes. There's no variableness with Him. And so God defines what truth is. And because God defines what truth is, truth does not change for any generation. It's the same in every generation. So, truth is important. It's important for us to understand that it's not something that's subjective to how we feel or what we think it is. It is defined by God. Now, I want to share with you, before we read our passage, a couple of authors, Geisler and Bocchino, in 2001, wrote a book, and the title of the book, if you're interested in reading this book, it's a good book. I've read it. It's called Unshakable Foundations, Contemporary Answers to Crucial Questions About the Christian Faith. A good book, good to read. In that book, they identify basically some characteristics of truth, and I want to share how they define truth and how they describe it, because it's applicable to our thoughts about Psalm 119 here. Number one, these two authors identify that truth is non-contradictory, meaning this, truth is non-contradictory, meaning that truth always aligns with logic. It always aligns with the laws of logic. It'll never violate what is logical. It always, in other words, it always fits reality of what really is in life. And this really causes secular humanists and those progressives who think truth is up to their definition, it causes them problems, because a lot of times secular humanist ideas of truth actually contradict reality. They contradict what is going on in life and reality. But truth will never do that. Truth will never contradict logic. Secondly, truth is absolute. Truth does not depend on a place, a time, or a setting. Truth is what was true yesterday is true today, and it will go on. Now, this again is a problem for secular humanists who hold truth to be very subjective, because as far as they're concerned, truth is always changing. In other words, they would tell us today that what was true yesterday is not true today because we're in a different culture, we're in a different time. No, truth does not change. It's absolute. It's absolute because it comes from God. Thirdly, this is an interesting one. Thirdly, truth is discovered. Truth is discovered. We don't inherently know all truth. Now, we have revealed truth in God's Word, but God knows all truth. We don't. God is the source of all truth. We learn truth. We discover it. We read it. We understand it as we grow in our knowledge and understanding. We discover truth when we do research. Doctors discover truth when they research a new medicine or a disease, and they research a truth about that disease. Well, that truth's always been there. We just didn't know it. When researchers do research and they discover a mathematical truth or some truth about creation or about life, it's always been there. God created it, but we discover it. So truth is discovered. It's discoverable. Number four, truth is descriptive. Truth describes reality. Now remember earlier, truth does not contradict reality. Truth not only does not contradict reality, it agrees with reality, but it also describes reality. An example of that would be if I said the sun is bright and sometimes it's hot when there's no clouds. That's a truth. The sun is always hot and it's always bright. All I'm doing is describing a reality when I say the truth. So truth is descriptive of reality. Number five, truth is inescapable. You can't deny its existence. Truth is inescapable. In fact, the atheist, the pantheist, the secular humanist who denies truth actually confirms it in their denying of it. And this gets philosophical, but think about this with me. For an atheist or a pantheist or a progressive or a secular humanist to say there's no absolute truth, they've just made an absolute statement which contradicts the fact that there's no absolute truth that they're claiming. Truth is absolute, and you can't deny it. It is inescapable. You cannot deny that there's truth and it's absolute. And then finally, number six, truth is unchanging. The truth of God matches his character. It doesn't change. It goes from one generation to the next. And so I shared these six things with you that these authors wrote, and very good book. Again, if you want more information about the book, you see this video, you email me, go to oakleafbaptist.org, ask the pastor, send it to me. I'll send you all the information on how to get the book, get it from Amazon, I'm sure. But the point is, those six principles of truth we find in the Bible, and those men pull them out of the Bible because they're Christian scholars, and they wrote about truth. And so David talks about truth here, and he talks about the truth of God's word and what it means to him and his faith. And we see that in the first two verses of Psalm 119, verses 145 and 146. Listen to what David said. He said, "I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes." Verse 146, he said, "I cry out to you, save me. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies." Now, you say, well, where is David talking about truth in there? Well, think about it for a moment. He said, "I cry out to you with my whole heart." David, every time David says that through the Psalms, "I cry out to you with my whole heart. I go after you with my whole heart. I hold to your word." He talks about his whole heart. What's he saying? He's saying that with the Shema, he says, with all my strength, my mind, my heart, my soul, with all that I have, God, I pursue you. Now, why would David say that? Why would he hold to that? Because he had a relationship with God. His faith, the fact that he was saved and the fact that he believed God, is founded on the truth of God. It's founded on the fact that God revealed himself. Watch this. Now listen. God revealed himself. David saw the truth of who God is, and he put his faith in God, and he was saved. It's exactly the same today. God has revealed his truth to us, okay? The truth is God's word. Jesus said that the word of God is truth and that it's revealed to us. So watch what God has done. God has revealed himself to us through special revelation that we talked about last week. God has revealed himself to us through his word. God has revealed himself to us through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When a lost man or woman comes under the hearing of the gospel, they're convicted. And the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, taking the word of God and applying it to their heart so that they're convicted over their sin. And they're drawn to be saved because they see the truth of who God is. Listen, a lost person who gets saved sees the truth of who they are in their lostness and their sin. They see the truth of who God is in his holiness and his righteousness. And then they see the truth of God's offer of salvation. So they trust him by faith and they're saved through the revealed truth of God's word. Nothing less than today. Think about this for just a moment. And this is basic 101 Christianity. So nothing complicated here. Think about the truth of the salvation process. And I wrote it out for us to think about for a moment. Number one, here's the truth that God's word reveals to us, and it's truth that we are sinners. We're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For none are righteous, no, not one, Romans chapter 3. We're all sinners. Every single one of us have come into the world with a sin nature after Adam. We're born with a sin nature and we choose to sin. We're guilty throughout our life of breaking God's laws. So the first truth the Bible reveals to us, and the truth that's undeniable, that's inescapable, that we can't get away from, is we are sinners. Now, people can deny that truth, but it doesn't change the truth of it. Do you understand? When we see a truth and we say, I reject that truth, it in no way changes the facts of the truth. For an atheist to say, I reject God, in no way changes the fact that God's there. They reject God's law, in no way changes the fact that His law stands. So the fact that we're all sinners is the truth. Secondly, here's the second truth. The wages of sin is death. In other words, the penalty for sin is the justice, the judicial law of God. We're all sinners. The penalty for that sin is death. Physical death is in the world because sin's in the world. Sin brought physical dying into the world. We suffer death physically because of sin in the world. The animals die physically because sin is in the world. Living organisms die because sin is in the world. Sin has infected the whole world, and it brought death because the penalty of sin is death. Now listen, that's a truth. Can't get around it, can't climb over it, can't go under it, can't ignore it. Sooner or later, everybody dies unless Jesus comes back. So the penalty of sin is death. That's a truth. So we're all sinners. The penalty is death. Number three, here's a truth. Here's a great truth. God loves us. Now that's a truth that you want to hold on to. God loves us. God's love for humanity is a truth of who He is, for God is love. That truth will never change. Now, men may reject God, and many do, and men may blaspheme His holy name, and men and women may run to sin and reject all that God is and His goodness, but it doesn't change the fact that He loves us. It doesn't change the fact that He loved us so much that He provided a way for us to be restored and saved from our sin. So the third truth is God loves us. Number four. The fourth truth in this process of salvation that's full of truths is Jesus came here and died for us on the cross. God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved, that we might put our faith in Him and be saved. Jesus so loves us that He came here and He took on human flesh. He lived a sinless life so that He could hang on a cross and listen to this, and basically trade His perfection for our sin so that we could be saved. He willingly gave Himself to die for us on the cross, sinless sacrifice, who took our sin upon Himself and died for us. That's a truth. That's a fact. Can't go around it. Again, you can't ignore it. It's a truth. Now, people can say, I don't want to believe it, and I reject it. Doesn't change the truth of it. Every lost man and woman who rejects Jesus Christ doesn't change the fact that He died for them, that He died for all of us, that He died that we might be saved. So those truths are integral to our salvation. Number five, Jesus arose from the grave. Now, there's a truth that's essential. Without the resurrection, we can't be saved. Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And because Jesus came out of the grave, because He resurrected on the third day in a new resurrection body, it guarantees us the victory over sin and death and the grave, because the Bible says Jesus is the first fruit of all those who will follow like Him. He was the first in the order of the resurrection, and all of us who are saved by faith in Him will be resurrected likewise. So when we put our faith in Jesus, we're putting our faith in a living Savior, not someone who's dead or not a God that's nebulous or out there, but a fact, a truth, that Jesus Christ is God and He rose.